Get started. I'm going to have to take a little bit of Philip's time this morning, and so let's do it as quickly as we can. If you'll listen fast, I'll talk fast, okay? Today's Friend Day, and we've got some visitors with us. Mr. Jim and Tony Armson, okay? Good to have y'all. And also Brenda Wright. Now, what's your first name again? Sharon? Okay, Sharon Eller. Okay. And it's good to have y'all with us today, okay? Thank you for coming out and being with us today. And today, we also want to say that Bobby and Darren Briggs, they're not here, but today's their anniversary, okay? So if you can remember when you see them next time, tell them happy anniversary. I think, what did he say last Sunday, 40 years?
I've slept since then.
Me too. 40 years. Okay, 40 years.
I can't remember our anniversary.
You're not supposed to admit that, Phil. Okay. Let's see, we're coming to the end of March. April's going to start. We've got a lot of things that are coming up. And so very quickly, we'll look at these. On Tuesday, April the 1st, will be the Oasis Potluck. Y'all all know what that is, right? Okay. All right, that'll be on this coming Tuesday. And so if you're a part of that, remember that day. Also on Wednesday, April the 2nd, we're going to have a revival prayer service. And so that will be a really good service to be into, praying for our revival, that God will give us a good revival and see people saved and born again. On April the 13th, we're going to have the ladies' Bible study. And then on Saturday, April the 15th, I've got that wrong. It's not April the 13th, it's April the 3rd. Yeah. And then on April the 5th, we'll have the prayer and breakfast outreach visitation. That's on Saturday, and it's at 9:30 a.m. So we are praying for these on our list. I will, before I forget it, Miss Lois Musgrove, her sister passed away, you know, Miss Rita passed away, and then she also had another, her niece passed away, Laura Sparks, that was on our list. So condolences to you, Lois. And we also, in the bulletin, if you will notice, Anita Smith, whose brother DJ Wilson passed away March the 16th. Michael Woods, whose great uncle Wiley Woods passed away on March 21st. And then, of course, Harold Basket, who passed away on March 22nd. And Joe Horn, who passed away also on March 22nd. And so we're praying for these families. Alan Barker, whose father, Johnny Barker, passed away on March 25th. So it's important to remember these folks in prayer that have lost loved ones. So y'all be sure to remember them when you pray. Okay, so in the coming Sundays, today is Friend Day, and then next week on April the 6th will be I Love Grace Sunday. And so we're going to celebrate that by bringing non-perishable food items for the Gray community chest there. Also, on Monday through Wednesday, April the 7th through the 9th, we'll begin our spring revival. And so that will be with Dr. Joe Arthur, and we will also have the Epley family singers, and If you've never heard Joe preach, it's a treat. I mean, it's a treat. Now, Pastor Herman says this is like the old-time preaching, the old-time tent, the old-time doing way of this. Brother Joe Arthur is just that, and he's exciting to listen to. The Epley Singers are very good. We appreciate them. And then on April the 12th, we're going to have the New Morning Mercies with Jacqueline Troel. Did I say it wrong? Yeah, Terrell. Okay. So it will be really good to hear her. She's been through a lot, and God has brought her through and is continuing to bless with meetings and things, and also with her children. So we'll look forward to that. And I'll stop here in the bulletin. On Sunday, April the 13th, we're looking for 500 in Sunday school. So y'all be looking at somebody you can invite to bring with you to Sunday school on that Sunday. So the rest of it, please read it. I'll try not to take any more of Brother Phillips' time. On the prayer sheet, we're continuing to pray for David Harrison, who had back surgery this week. Roger Cox, as you know, who is still battling with ALS. Bob Daniels and Sheila both. Bob has the cancer, and Sheila has got these other, I can't remember exactly what hers is, but okay. Just remember them in your prayers. So with that being said, does anybody have a prayer request silent that you'd like to lift your hand and just say, I have one? Okay. Thank you for those. We're going to remember Leslie Farmer on Tuesday. She's supposed to get this one shot. It's a radiation treatment. Okay. Okay. Brother Larry says they put her in a cast, and this is a one shot. It's kind of like a bullet. They want it to go just to that one place in her lung. It's radiation of some sort, and we just thank God that this is available, and we pray that it will do the trick for her. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to bless. Father, we do thank you this morning for the privilege to pray. God, we thank you for loving us, dying on the cross for our sins, Lord. And on that third day, you arose again, and Lord, you're sitting there at the right hand of God the Father making intercession. And I know that you hear and answer prayer. And God, I just thank you for all of these folks that have shown their faith by listing the people that they need prayer for, or by lifting their hands, or God, for the fact that we've discussed what's going on. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with each and every one. Father, that you'll visit them in their hour of need, and God, that you'll just lift them out. Lord, you'll bring them out and heal them. God, thank you for that, and we pray for our service today. Pray for Brother Philip as he teaches, and God, just bless Pastor Herman as he comes at the 11 o'clock hour. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Turn to James chapter 1, please. You might already be there. We're going to be there for evidently a long time to come. And I was privileged to be at Brother Harold's funeral service and it was a bright sunny day, lots of people there, and the pastor did an amazing job of his. They limit you to 20 minutes if you are interred at the Mountain Home. It's like boom, boom, boom. There's a lot of people that are being interred all the time, and so they limit you. But oh, he did such a wonderful job. A great verse, a great eulogy for Brother Harold, and a very, very great call to the lost that were there. And it was a great blessing, and I was glad I was part of it. And I was glad I was part of Brother Harold's life here at the end. Amen. I was glad I got to know him and enjoy him for just a little while. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So I'd like to talk about verse 3 there. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But does it? Sadly, not all the time. Sometimes people can get into these diverse temptations, as we saw in 1 Peter, manifold temptations. And instead of it working its perfect work, sadly, they go backwards. And something happens in the middle of their trial, and it is what we see in Hebrews chapter 12. I can read it for you in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. My pad just turned off. Let me get it back up here. Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Sadly, what happens many times when people are in trouble, and it's very difficult, it can be very scary, it can be very painful. Loss and danger is never fun. And what happens is many times is they fail of the grace of God. Now, you might think that that verse is telling us that because they failed of the grace of God, they became bitter. That would be wrong. The reason they fail of the grace of God is that they are bitter. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to those who submit. God gives grace to those who, as they go through their troubles, they let patience have her perfect work. But sadly, many times in the middle of all these troubles, we grow weary of well-doing, do we not? And we begin to get angry, bitter, doubtful. And there is a sad illustration of this, and I would like to look at his life. If you would, turn back to 1 Samuel, because what we're going to see is a man who had many troubles, diverse and manifold, and he sadly is going to fail miserably. 1 Samuel chapter 19. So David is being persecuted by Saul, and this goes on for many years, and he's in danger of his life. Saul tries to kill him on more than one occasion. And here in verse 18 of 1 Samuel chapter 19, it says, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah, and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naamah. Naoth. I don't know if I said that right, but I'm going to say it that way. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah." And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, Saul, then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sechu. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah." And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day, all that night. Wherefore they say, "Is Saul among the prophets?" Now chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah. Why would he do this? Why is he fleeing a place where he is evidently being blessed of God by divine protection, correct? And he's with the prophet. Who would you want to be more with in the time of trouble than Samuel, who was an amazing prophet? I mean, God was with Samuel. Obviously, he's still with Samuel. And all of these people that Saul sends to take Paul, three times I believe it was, and then he comes himself, every one of them falls down before Samuel and begins to prophesy, divine protection is on David. Why would he leave? Why would he ever leave this place? The answer is in that very verse. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" Do you think a root of bitterness has sprung up in David? In the very middle of God's protection over him, and when he came to Samuel, he told Samuel all these things, but at that time he wasn't full of bitterness. He was just explaining to Samuel what happened. But somewhere in here, David gets bitter. What does it say in 2 Thessalonians 3:13? "Be not weary in well-doing." We can get tired of doing right when trouble comes, can we not? So, here he is complaining to Jonathan. Now, I'm going to let you read chapter 20 because it has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. It's Jonathan and David's contract with each other. It's their... scenario where they are going to see whether Saul is really angry. They've got these boys. They're going to shoot the arrows. You read all of that. That's not a part of what I want to talk about. What I want you to see, though, is found down here in chapter 21. If you'll go right on down there. Let's see if I can get there, too. Not go too far. Okay, so after all of that, they're packed together, Jonathan determining that, yes, Saul really did want to kill him and was going to kill him too at that point. And in verse 42, "And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace. For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech. Nob is the city of the priest, you recall. To Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" Notice what David says. And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business." Does this sound like the truth to you? "The king hath commanded me a business, and he hath said to me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place." Did any of that happen, by the way? No. David is doing what to the priest? He is lying. He is failing of the grace of God. He, in all of his trouble, a root of bitterness, he's angry, he's upset, he's gotten tired of all of this that God is putting him through, and a root of bitterness has sprung up and it's about to defile many. Verse 3, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present." If you drop down to verse number 8, "And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there here under thine hand spear or sword?" Notice again, "For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste." He lies to him again. By the way, last week we saw in the Lord's Prayer that we are instructed to do what? Pray for our daily bread and pray for protection. Deliver me from evil. Deliver us from temptation and deliver us not into evil. Correct? What is David doing here? David is lying to a type of Christ, the priest, to get what? Food and protection. He has failed. Instead of going to God for what he needs in this time of trial, he begins to lie to get the very things that God has promised to provide him. Has he failed of the grace of God? In his trouble, in his manifold temptations, in his diverse temptations, he has not let these things, as it says in James chapter 1, let patience have her perfect work. Let's pick it up again in verse 8. "And David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold," what? "It is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." What in the world is this uncircumcised Philistine sword doing in the city of the priests in a cloth behind the ephod? And do you see David there? "Oh, there's no sword like this sword." You can just see him glorying in this thing. Now, let me ask you, did it do Goliath any good? It did not help Goliath a bit, did it? David was able to slay him with no sword, and now he has taken in his hand, looking at that thing, glorying in this weapon of the enemy as if it's going to help him. Folks, do you know, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He is glorying in the flesh. Now, let me tell you something. If you read the story of David when he killed Goliath, it says that he killed him with a stone to the head. He fell down dead, right? But he went over there and stood on him and took his sword and cut his head off and brought the head, I believe, to Saul. And it says immediately after that he took the helmet and the sword to Jerusalem. And so from there, that sword gets into the possession of the priest in Nob, and there it is when David is backslid to find. And there he begins to glory in something that was the very symbol of Goliath's defiance of God. And he takes it and glories in it. Now, can I say something about successes? We love successes. We love it when God blesses. But if we're not careful, the devil can take from our successes and trip us up in the future. I wonder what was going on in David's mind when he's going, oh, there isn't any sword like this sword. Maybe he was remembering what God was able to do through him when he slew Goliath all those years ago. And now that sword is going to be a snare to him. Notice, and the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that. No, I'm sorry. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. Now notice immediately what is mentioned next. And David arose and fled for fear. Now wait a minute. If this sword was so powerful, if this sword was so efficacious, if this sword was all he was making it out to be, would you think it would give him confidence in the middle of his trial? It does not give him confidence. Folks, the minute we lean on the devil's devices, on the arm of the flesh, because that's all this is David glorying in the arm of the flesh. The minute we do that, God takes his spirit away, and we fear. For fear of Saul. Now, notice this. Now, folks, here he is in all of these troubles. And what we would like for David in all of these troubles is that patience would have its perfect work and he would become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But what is happening is in all of this trial, he has gotten angry, he has gotten bitter, and he has left the place of blessing, Samuel and Naoth, where God was protecting him. Now, folks, listen to me. Whenever we get away from God, whenever we get bitter, whenever we get angry in our heart over whatever it might be, the temptation is to leave the place of blessing, to leave the people of God, to leave the place where God is protecting us. And why? Because bitterness and anger over our difficulties has entered in. Now notice, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. That is exactly where Goliath came from. He fled to the Philistines, to the very place, to the king of that place. Went to Achish, the king of Gath, Goliath of Gath. He flees to God's enemies for protection. This is sad, is it not? Folks, this is what happens to us if we will not let God let patience have her perfect work. If we will not submit in the time of trial, if we will not humble ourselves, If we get angry or bitter or all the other things that go along with bitterness, we will fail of the grace of God. We will lose God's grace. Nothing in our, let me put it this way. Every victory in our life is a matter of grace. It is a matter of God helping us to do it, whatever it might be. And if we fail of the grace of God, what do we see here? Lies, fleeing, fear, going to the enemy for solace. How sad this is. Verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? He wasn't yet the king of the land. Did they not sing one to another in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart. Now notice, now he's sore afraid. He just goes from fear to fear. When he got bitter there in Naoth, which he should not have, God was protecting him. God was helping him. Yes, it was dangerous, but God's divine protection was on him. Somehow he gets weary of well-doing. He gets bitter about his circumstances. He leaves that man, and from there it is fear, it is lying, it is taking the weapons of the enemy and glorying in them like some confidence could be found in them, and he goes straight into the arms of the lost, away from God's people, away from the land. This is just tragic. And here, when he gets there, it is more fear. Now he's sore afraid. Now he's trembling with fear, as it were. And notice what he does. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad. Oh, truly. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. This is just a troubled fountain. There's nothing good coming out of this. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the door and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. This is a sad day for our hero, is it not? This isn't the man that slew Goliath when he had the grace of God. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see this man is mad. Wherefore then have you brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? So, even the lost reject him. What a sad day. And notice where he ends up in chapter 22, verse 1. David therefore departed and escaped to a cave. A type of death. Amen? That's the end of it all. The end of, if you and I will not let God do what he wants in the midst of trouble. Let patience have its perfect work. If we will not submit to this process of refining our character, it will end in a dark cave. A type of death. It's just death. Instead of the life that he wants to bring. If you remember in James chapter 1, down there at the end of our section, it says in, let me get there real quick, 12, verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that will allow this to happen. For when he is tried, if he will submit to it, if he will yield, if he will let God do what he wants to do in his life, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Well, it doesn't sound like David's got a crown of life right here, does it? Amen. He's in a dark cave all by himself. Now, that's not the end of David's story, and I will let you go to Psalm chapter, let me get back there. Go to Psalm chapter, can't find, 34 and Psalm chapter 57, because if you read the heading of those two chapters, it's talking about David in the cave when he fled Saul, and David before, now they spell it differently in the heading, Ahimelech, but this is Abimelech that he lied to. And in that cave, God is able to bring him to the place where he can have grace again. So God's not done with any of us, amen? We can make terrible mistakes in this Christian life, can we not? We can just mess it up so bad. David messed it up real bad here. He did not let patience have his perfect work. And he ends up lying, causing the death of Abimelech, all of his family. You remember Doeg goes in there, kills 72 of the priests, and then goes on to kill all of their wives, all of their children, even the little suckling babes. Sad, isn't it? A root of bitterness springing up, defiling many. David failed at the grace of God because he just wouldn't let God, just wouldn't let patience have her perfect work. Now, I'm going to have to stop now. There's other things to learn here. Maybe we'll look at them next week. But I wanted to encourage you, if you're in the middle of trouble, let patience have her perfect work. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Let patience have her perfect. Yield. Submit. And God will bless with the crown of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to learn from David here. Not to become angry and bitter when difficulties come. God, help us not to leave the place of blessing. We will leave the place of blessing if we become bitter. And we will do all these things too. God, help us, I pray. Thank you so much for these people and their kind attention this morning, and for our visitors as well. We're very grateful to have them. Bless the pastor and the services this morning and this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, folks.